Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I am your instructor today in the Writings of Paul class. We're on Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Give a welcome to everybody. If you would be so kind as to turn there. Romans chapter 12. We're going to consider the entire chapter pretty much as a whole. Today's lesson is entitled Paul's Practical Practices. Paul's Practical Practices, Romans 12. And this week's memory verse is Romans 12, verse 21, which says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Romans 12, 21. Your memory verse of the week. Appreciate everybody that's here and is willing to learn of God's Word. In this chapter, Paul goes from his doctrinal section, which we have been studying since we started Romans, on to his more practical advice section. That if practiced, the advice, if it was practiced, produces godly Christians. Let's look at verses 1 and 2, please. Quote, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." End quote. Paul begins his practical section with not a command, but a urgent request of each of his readers. Those in fellowship with God, by and through His mercy, are to present their bodies or total being as a figurative sacrifice on God's altar of service. We, in other words, are to be willing to sacrifice our everything to and for Him as He so wills. Now, this doesn't mean that we are to go and throw away our lives meaninglessly on things that don't matter. Life is sacred, and we ought to cherish that gift, each minute of it. What Paul is basically saying here in this verse is for us to be willing to devote our time, energy, and resources to God. All we have has been given to us by God. We therefore should show gratitude to Him for it all. Dedication to service is considered holy and acceptable to God. We must also consider, along with this, what is service that is acceptable? Devoting yourself to a monastic life or a life of a hermit, hidden away in a cave, somewhere or on a mountaintop, away from mankind, is not acceptable service. The life of a mystic contemplating the world and God on a 24/7 basis is the life of a sinner, not a saint. Instead, God in His Word directs us to social life, that is, doing good works for the benefit of mankind and for His, that is, God's kingdom. We cannot spread the gospel by being hidden off somewhere out of sight, but We are to engage in reasonable service. Our service is to be lawful and acceptable in God's sight, which may or may not be what we have envisioned as being acceptable, but it must be in harmony with God's word. We are not to invent ways of service that is contrary to the Bible. Next, Paul encourages us to be not conformed to this world. That would be to be put in the mold of fallen man, so that we look and act like the world. A worldly Christian has much repenting to do. Modern media, television, music, motion pictures, Facebook, the whole thing, Twitter, and sadly, government schools do much of the molding of today's children. Most modern parents have shirked their duties of child training, discipline, and molding, and have put these tasks on an automatic mode, preferring someone else to do these things, and leaving it to the, quote, professionals, unquote, for the most part. Most socialist forms of government gladly take these responsibilities, since it is their chance to capture the next generation and put them into their mold, their socialist mold. Looking, acting, and thinking as the government so approves, these unsuspecting masses of students have unknowingly taken the mark of the beast upon themselves, making them its willing servants. The mark of the beast in the forehead, if you remember, simply means that you group think like the beast, or the one world government, or it could be just another term for the, quote, collective, end quote. The mark of the beast on the hand means that your actions and work are approved and guided by the beast. So, why is there such a huge bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. already today? The bureaucracy, which is often termed the ruling class, produces massive regulations intended to regulate almost every aspect of life here in America, if not the planet. We as Christians are not to serve the beast in mind and body, but rather separate ourselves from it unto God. That doesn't mean that we should not be patriots and love our homeland, or do legal government work, as Daniel did. It does mean, however, that we are to keep the government under our control, as the framers of the Constitution intended, and not the other way around, which being that is us under their control. The government is to be at our service, not our dictators. We have a huge problem when we permit the government to act in things that are contrary to the Bible and even contrary or against its own constitution. Laws contrary to humanity. One such example is abortion on demand, even permitting the murder of the newborn, are criminal and are to be viewed as punishable if ever committed. Laws that permit illegal criminals rights that are not granted by the Constitution of the United States, or any nation for that matter, are unjust and need not be observed as legal. We as Christians need to be careful with the fact that the powers of the darkness of this world are using Scripture to entice us to our own destruction, to err by following their mold of thinking. Much is said these days about the universal, unconditional love of God. From the same crowd that massacres millions of innocent babies each year. Such massacres discredit these people from having any moral standing on any subject. They are of reprobate minds to have such thoughts. To avoid the approved collective group think of today, Paul says that we are to be, quote, transformed by the renewing of our minds, end quote. So just how is this transformation done? Answer, we are changed or transformed by the constant reform and repentance that is brought about by the conviction of the Holy Spirit through His, that is God's, Word. That means God's Holy Word is to be active in each of our lives. That would also mean, and I hate to even mention this, but that would also mean that you must turn your televisions off and read God's Word instead. This should be done during a special time set aside each day, but not necessarily a one set time. The Lord's Day, or as the secular world would have it, Sunday, which originally meant the day of the sun god, is a perfect day to enjoy the blessings of reading and sharing God's Word. This time devoted unto the Lord can be early in the morning, upon rising, or just before bed. Any time is fine as long as it is consistent. This is a growing time, a time to feed upon God's Word as an individual. The world would take this away from you, and it attempts to leave you with no time for God or any energy left to do anything in His direction. God must be in your life so that He may lead you in the promised paths of righteousness for His name's sake, that you may lie down in His green pastures and be refreshed by the calm still waters. Peace is promised to us, not as the world would give us, because there is no real peace found in this world. It is not found in philosophy, psychology, collective political correctness, and groupthink. Or is it found in any one of the world's imitation religions? Peace only comes when we rest in Christ. Now, at the close of this second verse, we have the purpose of our mission on earth given, which is, quote, proving His will, end quote. We must be in His will to prove His will. Some, in error, take the three descriptive terms, good, acceptable, and perfect, as three states of God's will. The way this thinking goes is, if you have done things wrong, but things work out for the good of those in Christ Jesus, then you are the acceptable, you are in the acceptable will of God, but not His perfect will. If you did the best you can in the task, then you are in his goodwill. If you do all in the power of Christ and in accord with his word, then you are in his perfect will. Now, this idea is an error, since these three words are describing God's one will. He doesn't have three contingent wills. God isn't busy desperately working out the details so that things work out in his favor. No, God has one will and one plan, and all goes according to his plan. Since he is omnipotent, and nothing can thwart his will. Remember, God has the power to change things, and change not just people's minds and circumstances, but he can change people, just like he did the Apostle Paul. As we see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, which I quote quite a bit, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So God works in us. Things don't happen by accident. People come, people go, and so do governments. God is the only constant in life. Let's take a look at verse 3. Quote, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Here, Paul states a good principle to make us as a practical practice for us. We are not to have a too high opinion of ourselves, our abilities, and our accomplishments. But rather, we are to glorify God as our all in all. That would be a very practical practice. May his praise be on our lips as we go forward for his cause alone. Notice it doesn't say that we are to put ourselves down and thus belittle the blood-bought image of God, but simply here that we should not be guilty of self-exaltation. Self-exaltation leads to envy and strife, and is a result of rebellion, pride, and arrogance, as it says in James chapter 3, verse 16, as in, well as in other places, quote, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work," end quote. Instead, we are to put other believers, first, preferring the others before ourselves, as we see in verse 10 of this chapter. As we see here in our present verse, it is God that gives the gift of faith, and this to every man that has received it. Our verse does not mean that every man in the world has faith in God, but it is talking about those who have been granted a measure of faith. Now, this faith is to be exercised so that it may grow and become stronger as a muscle does in the body. If you want to become stronger, you must do the things that make you stronger. All good athletes follow a careful program of nutrition and exercise. There has to be a balance. All good, strong Christians also follow a biblical program of righteousness that is prescribed by the Son of God. Next, Paul lists some of the gifts given to the church in verses 4 through 8. Let's just read through those quickly. Quote, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." End quote. So, according to Paul, if we have received a gift from God, no matter what it is, then we are to use that gift for His glory. And the use of these gifts will benefit the church. Quote, wait a minute here. Let's look at the last section here of our chapter. Lastly, in this practical chapter of Paul here, Paul gives us godly advice of what we should practice in our daily lives. This is Paul's practical practices. Notice here also that there is nothing listed by Paul that some religious leaders would include to be necessary for godly practice or for just godliness. Some of these that some religious leaders would include tithing and church attendance. Now, these things are good. These are not listed. Nor the number of times a day one should pray is listed. Some false religions have where you pray three times a day, or some others five times a day. Others give you a little line of beads. Okay, as a reminder of what and where and when to pray. Okay, all that is not listed and is... Alright, so... there is also not the number of times or what we're supposed to recite in any written prayers. There's no written prayers in the Bible for us to recite. There are no chants for us to repeat. There's no time given for mindless meditation upon the good. Let us therefore take a brief look at what Paul considers important for his readers. We'll do that by just reading it. Quote, "Let love be without dissimulation." And well, just find that as artificial or a phony type of love or something put on. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil." In other words, you can't stand the sight of it. "Cleave," or hang on to, "that which is good." Don't let it go. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." "In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Or, in other words, have true sympathy. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Quite a list of practical advice. Now, even if we do all of the above faithfully, we need to keep in mind it is the least that we can do for our Lord, who graciously gives us all things. We need not expect something in return or demand something in return from our Lord as payment for service, such as the elder brother did in the story of the prodigal son, found in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Now that young man, in his own words, slaved, the word used there is slaved, that young man in his own words slaved after his father, and in return expected to be rewarded with a fatted calf like his brother. He thought that he deserved something for his slavish service. For that, see Luke chapter 15, verse 29, which says, quote, "And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends." End quote. In reality, what we do, all that we do, can never repay what God has done for us. So that the words of Christ in Luke chapter 17, verse 10 are true in every case in our regard. It says, quote, "So, likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." End quote. So here is the proper attitude. Here we have a list also that we need to consider of Paul's practical practices. And we are to contemplate these things and to use these things in our daily lives for his glory. So, by God's grace, let us do these things for God's glory and his alone. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we come to thee now, thanking thee for this thy word. We thank thee for the book of Romans. We thank thee for Paul and him writing these words of practical purpose for us, that we might learn and grow. Thank thee most of all for sending thy Son to die on the cross for us, for our sakes, that we might have and might partake in the riches of his glory. We pray now that you'll be with each one of the requests that we have for the lost, for the sick. We pray also for thy church, that you'll strengthen it and cause us all to work hard and to love it as we love thee. And we pray now also that you will increase our faith, cause us to prosper in whatsoever we do for thee, that you might receive the honor and glory that you deserve. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.